This time of the year, we probably have, most of us have already been engaged in some shopping for loved ones. I don't know, anybody brave Black Friday? Anybody was brave enough to do that? Brave enough to do that? Yes. How many have someone on their list that is just like really a difficult person to buy for? Anybody? You got some of those? Yeah. What gift, you know, do you give? It's sometimes a challenge. The word that God gave me today, I was sharing with Kim. It was actually as I was traveling to a home visit early this week on Monday. It was. I was just praying, you know, about you all, and about the Lord giving me a word that I could share. That would be meaningful, that would touch your needs. You know, we've been talking for a couple of weeks about getting our lives in order, putting our lives in order, and I asked the Lord, okay, Lord, you've given me a lot of words, but Lord, how do we wrap this up? How do we now bring it home? And it's amazing, you know, when you seek the Lord, how he hears and answers, especially when you're seeking him in accordance with his will, right? John tells us that if we ask anything according to his will, we have it. Well, I happen to know it's God's will for you to be blessed. It's God's will for you to be spoken into in regard to that which you need, that which you desire, that which you will draw you closer to God and give you the experience of God in your life. So as I was praying, the Lord said, I want you to talk about the gift of presence. In this, the last message in this series, the gift of presence. And right away, it just struck me. And it if you could have seen me in my car, I was doing my happy dance as I was driving. Because it was one of those words, as I said to Kim, it was almost audible. You ever hear that? It's not audible, but it's so clear, so resounding in your ears that you just say, thank you, Lord, for giving me that word. The gift of presence. Now, let me tell you a little bit about that. Presence is a word that needs a little bit of explaining, a little bit of definition, right? Because we don't use it very much. But I need to start out by saying that in the scriptures, when you come across that word presence, it's a particular Hebrew word that means face or countenance, but it means much more than that. It means what comes through that face and that countenance when you are in their presence. So presence means that which is transferred from the person to you when you are there. That's why in the scriptures it often is spoken of as God's face. Well, let me see if I can make that very clear and very personal to you. When you want to be with somebody, when you want to be with them, you want their undivided attention, and you want them to be able to be looking at you. And when you have that, you know that you're connecting, right? Well, you know, I mean, come on, guys. This is the opposite of what happens when you're watching Sunday football and your wife's trying to talk to you. You understand, you know, it's the opposite of that. The opposite of somebody watching TV and, you know, somebody's talking over here and, right, yes, okay. That's not presence. Presence is when you're there, when you're connecting. The gift of your presence, by the way, is really the most precious gift that you have to give. It's the most precious gift that you can give somebody is really the gift of your presence. I mean, come on, your undivided focus, your undivided attention when they know that you are there, huh? And this Christmas season, as you're thinking about presence, think about presence, not P P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but P-R-E-S-C-E-N-C-E. Presence, your presence that you can give to someone else, one of your loved ones. Now, with that said, let's really return to the scripture and talk about why it is so powerful, so important for us to experience the presence of God. Because you see, as we wrap this series up and we're talking about putting your life into order, there is nothing as important to putting your life in order than that which happens when you are truly in the presence of God. In the presence of God, even as I was praying up here for some of you today, in the presence of God comes a clarity, a perspective that is God's perspective. It's really like being able to experience a little bit of the mind of God. We know that he is so big that we could never really know his mind, but that does not mean we can't experience some of the clarity that comes from his being, from his presence. We actually are changed in God's presence. In his presence, which we describe in the scriptures as light, glorious, bright light, white light, holiness. In his presence, you see, it clarifies everything for you. It really does. When you come into God's presence, you can be burdened by a lot of things. You can be thinking about a lot of things. You can have many decisions on your heart, weighing your heart down. When you experience God's presence, he has a way of clearing that all up. He has a way of bringing you that perspective that is his. And oh, if we could truly see with God's eyes, amen? If we could truly see our lives and the lives of others around us through his perspective, what a difference it would make. Well, we do. We can experience that when we experience God's presence. You know, Adam and Eve had the ability to experience God's presence at first in the garden. You know, we sang that song in the garden, and that's why those words are there. That old familiar hymn in the garden was penned because of the scriptures that says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, that his presence was there. Can you imagine what that would have been like to have his being there, walking with them, talking with them, just as the song says? We know that Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden whenever they made that fatal mistake of believing the devil rather than God, of disobeying God. We know that they were removed from the garden, from the tree of life. But did you know that they were not totally removed from God's presence? It was diminished. Kind of like what the sun would be on a cloudy day. You know, that's what happened when sin came into the world. God's presence was diminished. In other words, it wasn't experienced in its fullness any longer. It was clouded by the effects of sin. And as sin continued in many people's lives, God's presence was completely eradicated, blacked out, blotted out. But not everyone. God so desired to be able to be with us and us with him. Of course, we understand because we read the end of the story. We know how this whole thing ends. Isn't that a great advantage when you can go to the end of the book and say, we win? That's perspective. It's a great advantage, but also we see about the end of the book how God is going to restore the ability for us and him to be together forever. Did you ever read that? Revelation chapter 21, I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the old had passed away. And as John was getting these visions of the Lord that must have been overwhelming, he sees that heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. There in the middle was the temple, was the throne of God. The throne of God coming down and resting upon the new earth that God had restored now that he kicked the devil out. And God's word spoke. And he says, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will be their God. They will be his people. You see, the end of the story is God and us completely restored together again. On the earth, by the way, the new earth restored, where we can live in his presence always. Matter of fact, his presence then will be so bright and so full that we will not even need the light of the sun. That's what it says in the scriptures. In his presence. See, when we are in the fullness of God's presence, his presence provides everything we need. God so desired for us to experience that he, knowing it wasn't yet time to end the earth, knowing it wasn't even yet time for Jesus to come, he called a people unto himself, called Israel. He called those people unto himself, and he told those people, I want to be with you. Now, you know and I know the big story of how God had to accomplish that. How he showed Moses the pattern of heaven itself and told him to replicate it by building a tabernacle upon the earth that he may come and dwell with his people. And how elaborate that was, and how according to the design it had to be made, and how on that Ark of the Covenant, that special gold-covered box, with the angels, the cherubim's wings coming toward the middle and almost touching, how there, called the mercy, on the mercy seat, on the chest cover, God's glory used to come and touch earth. Now, everyone in Israel was able to experience something of the glory of God. Everyone, when the cloud would come, could see the cloud. If you were outside the tabernacle, you could see the cloud. But only one was allowed to go into that inner chamber, into that Holy of Holies, and be able to experience that level of the fullness of the presence of God. And then only with the right sacrifice and actions. And even then, it was somewhat clouded with the incense cloud that had to be burned so that they could enter into God's presence and live. Moses was a very special man. We sang a song, A Friend of God. He was the one that was called, right? Abraham, a friend of God. Moses, a friend of God. God said about Moses, I know him. I know him by name. And he meets with me, and he talks with me as a man talks with his friend. Moses went up to the mountain as God called him there. And there on the mountain, Moses was able to experience something of the presence of God, wasn't he? Moses got a taste of that presence. And then later on, when God had revealed to him the plan of now taking the nation of Israel into the promised land, God said, well, are you going to go with us? Because if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. Now, you can read quickly past a scripture like that and miss the impact, the importance of it. Moses had such a foretaste of the presence of God that he knew that that's what they needed. That's what they needed. That's what would make them a separate people, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a treasured possession of God, distinct from every other. And so he said to the Lord, is your presence going with us? If not, we don't want to go. You know, oh, that we would recognize the value of God's presence so much that we too would have that kind of attitude, you know? that we don't want to be anywhere where God's presence is not. That's what Moses was saying. Moses had a foretaste. As a matter of fact, you know what happens when you get that little bit of taste of the presence of God? It's the same thing that happens when I have won my first lick of turtle ice cream at Meadows. I want more. How many have ever heard that expression? Taste like more, right? Taste like more. Moses, after tasting the presence of God, you know what he said? Show me your glory. Now show me your glory. He had asked him the question, your presence is going to go with us. Okay, now show me your glory. What was up with that, church? Moses knew he wasn't getting the full impart. He knew there was more, and he wanted it. He had that taste. Now he wanted more. And you know what was great? God honored that. What was great is that God honored it. You would expect it. I would have expected, if it was the very first time I ever read that scripture, when I came to that passage, I would have expected God to say, you can't do that. But God honored that. And he didn't even hesitate. God said, okay, but here's how it has to be done. I'm going to put you down here in this cleft of the rock, right? And I'm going to cause my glory to pass in front of you, but I don't want you to die. But I do want you to experience more. So when I pass in front of you, I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to cover your face, right? So you don't see that fullness. And then when I pass by, I'm going to let my hand go, and you're going to see my glory from behind. And that's what he did. And I got to tell you, as God passed by, you read in the scripture the words that God began to speak. What he did was he began to speak of his character, of who he was. And as he did and his glory passed by, all that attributes of God, all the character of God, as it was speaking, being spoken, Moses began to receive. Moses began to receive that into himself. Can you imagine what that would have felt like? Can you imagine with me just what that would have been like? To experience even that from behind. We know that when Moses went down off the mountain, he was not aware at first, but the first one that saw him was. When they looked at him and began to run, why, church, why? Because his face was so radiant from being in the presence of God. It was shining. Radiant is the word in scripture. Radiating what? The glory of God. Oh. Good stuff, huh? But yet, would you believe that God had even more for us? God had even more for us. More planned. More in store for us. For God knew that there would be a day when Jesus would come. There would be a day when he didn't have to go through that elaborate ritual of sacrifices day by day. When he didn't have to go through that ritual of burning just the right mixture of incense on the altar. There would be a day when Jesus would make possible the experience of God's presence for everyone that would believe. No one really understood how powerful it was that when Jesus said, "It is finished," that God himself came, reached down from heaven, grabbed a hold of that 75-foot high, 4-inch thick curtain, and ripped it right in half from the top to the bottom. God was tired of being separate from his people. And what a glorious day that was. When the devil thought he won, God said, "Look, it is finished. The way into my presence is now made open to my people. No longer do I have to stand afar off." He removed the barrier, it says in the book of Hebrews. He removed that wall of hostility that all of our sins had built up, the real separation wall between us and God. He removed it in one moment, in one day, once and for all, the scripture said. Once and for all, gone. That the way into God's presence is now made open. How today, 2,000 years later, we can take that for granted. How today we can come into a church building. We know it's not the church, but it's a building where the church meets. And we can begin to worship and take for granted what really is taking place as we enter into the manifest presence of God. How we can be oblivious to the truth that is happening as we're worshiping and God is inhabiting the praises of His people, and we can stand in the presence of a holy God as people who have been accepted, received, loved. And as people who can experience from that presence everything we need. Everything we need. The way has been made open. God has given us the gift of His presence. The Holy Spirit in us is called in Scripture a deposit, earnest money, guaranteeing what is to come. It is a foretaste, just as we have been speaking about. It's a foretaste of the fullness of the presence of God that we will one day experience when we close our eyes the last time on this earth and open them up in the true, full presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to understand that day, you will understand, that day you will see Him face to face. That day you will look into eyes so pure, so full of light, that you will be transfigured, transformed in an instant that day in His presence. When He comes up to you and He wraps those arms of love around you, every fiber of your being will be filled to the fullness of the glory of God, and then you will know what you've been missing. Then you will know. Now we see dimly as through a cloudy glass. Even now, even in the new covenant, we're still not there yet, are we? But then we will be face to face. But let me tell you, to ignore what we have right now is sin. To ignore the truth that God has done all that He has done to enable us even now to receive of His presence, to receive of Him the impartation of His presence into you, is a great miracle. You see, you become, as we know, the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's presence dwelling in you. Now, Solomon understood what we understand too, that there is no container able to hold the full presence of God. Solomon built an elaborate temple, dedicated it to the Lord, but he had the foresight of praying, "Lord of heaven, there is nothing that can contain You. Nothing can contain You in its fullness." We, however, receive an impartation, a deposit of the glory of God when we receive Him. And that glory in you can increase. I mean, just let me say this before we close, and I'll be closing in just a minute. You know that God is always with you. But you also know that you can sense him at times much more than others. Much more than others. But there are times, if you allow yourself to, and if you seek and focus, you can begin to experience the presence of God strongly. I know sometimes when Kim, who is often kind of hid back here behind the keyboard, when we go into deep worship and when I, because I, you know, she's my wife, I know her. When she begins, I can see it come over her, God's presence coming in strength and in fullness, and she begins to quiver. And oftentimes she'll begin to speak, and I know the difference between her normal voice. Amen? You see, there is the opportunity to experience more of God's presence the more we seek of him, the more we desire him, the more we focus on him. That's why worship is so powerful, church. That's why worship is such a gift that God has given us, that he has chosen to inhabit the praises of his people, to come in a stronger way. It is. Now, you don't have to be in this church to experience it. You can be driving down the road in your car. You can be with your wife praying. You can be anywhere and experience that kind of presence. Because it comes when we seek, when we desire, when we focus, when we ask, when we want so much to be with the Lord. Amen? And in that experience, our life begins to come back into place, back into order, lining up. That's what his presence can do for your life. It can order you rightly. It can cause... Oh, I just got to read this really quickly. I'm going to shut up and just read. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place. David got it. David understood it. He created that makeshift tabernacle where he could go and sit in the presence of the Lord and bask in the glory of God. He loved it, huh? How lovely is your dwelling place, he wrote. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Is that your prayer? David was allowed to experience so much more of the presence of God. Because of this, right? A heart after God's own heart. Listen to this. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. What David was saying is that even in your hardest times, even in your times of trouble, even in those days when you're walking through that valley of trial and trouble, if you in that place can experience the presence of God, then strength rises, then perspective returns, then hope comes. You go from strength to strength in those valleys until you get to the other side and you look back and you realize what's happened. God never left you and never will. I will never leave you or forsake you, says the Lord. But you must acknowledge my presence with you. I am here, he calls to us. I am here. Call upon me. I am here. Seek my face. Why does he say seek his face, church? Because oftentimes in our prayer, we're seeking what he can give us with his hands. But what we really need is an experience of his presence. Huh? Seek him. And everything else comes. Seek the giver. Right? The giver of presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Seek the giver of presence. Let's do that this year. In this holiday season, let's seek the giver of presence. And in recognizing how powerful that is, let's give each other the greatest gift, the gift of our presence. Amen? Father, I come before you and I thank you for what you have done, Lord God, to make it possible to experience more of you, to receive even your spirit within us. Help us not to take it for granted, Lord, but to seek it more and more in our lives. And I pray today, Father God, that we together as your people can experience more. That as we welcome you, Lord, into this corporate gathering of your saints, that you feel so welcome that you come in manifest presence, Lord, and change us, touch us, meet us, help us, deliver us, strengthen us, give us hope. Bring us, Lord. Bring us through every valley. Bring us through every trial. For we will ever praise you, Lord. We love you, Father. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for first loving us, for demonstrating your love. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let us experience more that creates even more of a desire. That we want more and more and more of you. We'll never get our full, Lord God. We just keep wanting more. And we thank you that there's so much more to experience. In your presence, Lord. Everything we need. Thank you for giving it to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.